Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and subjects that we talk about on the show, go to geekson.com.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome back, my geeklings.
Excellent. Yet another day, yet another hour,
a few days.
Geeks on.
Hello.
Welcome back, kids.
My name is Aaron Hendricks. I'm a filmmaker and graphic designer here in Los Angeles,
and
I'm
a geek. One.
He's a geek.
Very geeky.
I am Peter. I'm a writer in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
Uber geek.
I am Matt King. I am an actor in Los Angeles, and yeah, I'm a geek.
Mega geek.
Mega.
Hi, I am Donald Marshall. I'm a video game professional and writer here in Los Angeles, and I am, too, a geek.
Uber geek.
Hey.
How was y'all's geek week?
I had jury duty. It sucked.
Well, did you show up in your Star Trek uniform
with a pen? I did, but two other people did too.
Yeah.
It's now kind of in.
They took him anyway.
It's almost like the uniform for jury duty these days.
Ever since Commander did it.
Yeah. Whatever.
And if you know what we're referring to, I love you.
What was the second one like?
Trekkers 2?
Yeah, Trekkies 2.
It's okay. It kind of goes in more international, and so they show... And they go back...
I didn't fight in the Trekkie. No.
They also go back and visit some of the people they had talked to before. And
like the guy who makes the costumes?
I think he's there.
I love him. He drives
the
me crazy.
The kid's there.
Oh, I love the kid... The one who's so incredibly gay and doesn't know it.
Oh, really?
He's got a girlfriend in the second one.
Oh, yeah. I bet he does. Is her name Grace?
We should watch it. It's fine. It does have the guy who built the apartment building. Changed his apartment building.
Oh, that was cool. I saw
which one? The dentist?
Yeah, I sent out an email like last year about the guy who redid his entire apartment.
I just want that bathroom.
I just wanted to know the dentist.
He had a sliding shower stall door.
Yeah. You know, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. No, you know the dentist who remade his entire office to be Trek in the first one?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know how he got a wife that hot who was into Trek.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Well, today we're going to go meet all sorts of cosplay gals and
that's right, my geeklings. We love you so much. We are here at the crack of dawn on our weekend to record
our
show.
Not dawn's crack. That's different.
Yeah. That would be much more fun. But we are going to go to an anime convention today, meet all sorts of people.
And I don't know much about anime, so I'm going to be kind of weirded out.
None of us do. Like, we were trying to come up with questions to ask them, right?
Right.
And so I came up with a verse list, like, who would win, right? This shows how long it's been since I paid attention to any anime. Sailor Moon versus Oh My Goddess.
Okay.
G-Force/Gatchaman/Battle of the Planets versus Voltron.
Okay.
The cast of Pokemon versus the cast of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
What about Digimon?
Oh, Digimon. I forgot about Digimon.
Don, you're already, like, way ahead of me.
Don't blow it off, because we got to actually have
to get there. We'll
Macross versus Robotech, for God's sakes.
Hell yes.
I'm old.
Excellent.
So, yes, we will...
We'll do it. We'll be it. It'll be great.
It's going.
Okay. I've just wanted somebody my whole life to tell me I look like Rick Hunter, but not happening.
Who's Rick Hunter?
No.
I know.
You're Asian.
I know. No, Rick Hunter's supposed to be Asian.
Mm-hmm.
No, he is.
In that very special anime way.
Yeah.
Aaron and I are just looking at each other going, who's Rick Hunter?
Peter looks more like Rick Hunter.
Robotech.
Actually, Peter kind of looks like Rick Hunter.
I don't remember it. I did watch it a long time ago.
Oh, I'm
going to
sit you down and make you watch all of the episodes again.
I saw Robot Carnival. I've seen...
You've seen some of
Akira.
The features.
I had a roommate in college who just sat in the basement and watched anime day and night. It's all
really?
He did. But I just was too afraid to go down into the basement. So.
Don and I saw that somewhat dirty anime, like suddenly it became all about
Berserk.
Like,
yeah, it was this weird... It was like Conan the Barbarian, where suddenly Conan is half-naked by a well, splashing water on his commander and frolicking through the waves.
Yeah, it was like...
So that's what they're calling it these days, your commander?
It was really, really weird.
I felt dirty.
But intrigued.
All right, let's get to some news so we can get off to this crazy convention.
Quick news.
Cool. I'll start.
Okay.
My news is about nipple enhancers.
Oh, Peter, you bring
you must.
Is this geeky because it's considered tech?
This is geeky because
it involves
it's
nipples.
Considered sex.
All right, we'll geeks let it slide just because it has to do with sex.
No, you got to put that in the comma in the beginning. You know, RPG,
if I
sex.
Made
par-
yeah, then we'll get.
If I may paraphrase
hits.
From Revenge of the Nerds, nerds do sex better because we think about it all the time.
Yes, there you go. See.
All right.
So nipple enhancers. It's a new trend.
Okay.
People are buying nipple enhancers. It's a trend that started since Russian star Maria Sharapova is becoming known for her tight shirts always showing the outline of her nipples. So lots of people who don't really like their nipples, like they might have innies or maybe they just want to put them up, put these
innies?
On the innies.
Oh, no. I dated a girl who was like big smooth boob. It just no nipple.
Innies.
They have innies.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
There
oh,
is
yeah.
such a thing.
Big smooth boob?
Yeah, it was
sounds like
boob.
A boob. That's an anime character.
Yeah exactly.
Big
so,
smooth boob.
Attack!
Actually, blue smooth boob would be an anime character.
Blue smooth boob? So, or if you want to put them on the outside of your bras, it's a new trend so that girls get more attention.
Actually, that's kind of now fading out. Nipples is not as in as it was. Like
yeah,
three
nipples
years
are
ago.
So 10 minutes ago.
You
Peter.
Know, Aaron, I think nipples will
it's
always.
It's true.
Be in. Aaron, I gotta tell you,
right.
I bet biologically you, nipples will always be in.
I
well,
bet
no,
you
to
they'll
me
make,
they
make
will always be in. But
to be honest, though, living in Hollywood, I'm kind of like nipples on women, great. Nipples on guys, a little too many of those around here. Mm-hmm. You know,
I haven't even noticed.
Hmm. Well, you don't live in Hollywood.
No.
There yeah, Culver City, it's all old people nipple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, you know, it
all
must
right,
change
well, that's,
their knees.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Do you have photos of these enhanced
No, I don't.
Things?
Oh, that's a shame.
Bummer.
All right. Okay, Matt, with a Xbox may license the Xbox 360 software. During a recent visit to Japan, Bill Gates, he said that the company may license software. So it could potentially maybe kind of, I don't know, open the door for consumer electronics manufacturers to integrate the Xbox into their products. Like,
right.
Like a TV or a PC manufacturer like Dell or whatever could integrate the Xbox software. Although Gates was not so forthcoming. So who knows? I mean, he hadn't offered specifics about the kind of software or which companies would be involved. He also hasn't said whether or not the arrangement would involve manufacturers making products other than game machines.
Yeah, they kind of hinted at the fact that maybe what he meant was they would allow anybody to make any type of third-party products
right.
for the machine.
Right.
So it may not be the fact that they're, you know, allowing anybody to turn their televisions or toasters into Xboxes.
As opposed to Sony, where people needed permission to publish the PSP porn.
Right.
Right, exactly. Okay.
I would love to see an Xbox toaster. Well, I would.
Well, you might.
Then you could
you
toast
might.
Your Xbox.
And play.
Don, how about you? You have any news today?
No, I'm still giving a low, hard stare at Matt. Okay, now I'm done.
I feel funny.
Well, okay. For some reason, I'm the one here that's probably least interested in studio art, but I'm the one that seems to keep bringing back these kind of weird studio art stories from Europe. But a new Leonardo da Vinci drawing has been discovered in London.
Cool.
Underneath a famous existing painting.
What?
The Virgin of the Rocks. So recently discussed in the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
As one of those big Da Vinci Code drawings.
Don loved the Da Vinci Codes.
Yeah, I loved it. God damn, I hated that book. we'll get into that some other time. They were recently doing some work on it where they were using infrared scanning to see through layers of paint on the picture when they discovered two levels of underdrawing. One for the Virgin of the Rocks, the actual painting you see, and another beneath for a different picture, showing the Virgin with outstretched arms. So it was just a completely different rough draft.
Oh, that's funky.
But apparently it was quite complete. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the article here. It was apparently quite complete, but the original sketch was rejected by the patron.
Okay, so it wasn't like a completely different painting.
No,
it was like Mona Lisa 2,
The
Revenge.
I don't like the arms now. All right, Jesus.
They made it sound like it was a different picture. It was a different picture, but her pose was quite different.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Virgin on the rocks with outstretched arms.
I like how
in
you...
In the first one, she didn't look like a virgin. It was kind of slutty, so
right,
they had
right.
to go the other way.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. She had her arms actually...
You know, arms up is a universal symbol for come
see,
to me. Right. You know?
In the first one, the leg... It was the not the arms that were up. It was...
the legs that were up. And she was holding her breasts, right. which had nipple enhancers.
Yeah. Well, okay. I could see.
Just poking out from behind all that oil paint.
Yep.
All right.
I have two just quick video game things to supplement your Xbox 360 news.
Excellent.
A, it seems that Sony has confirmed that the PlayStation 3 is not going to have the hard drive at launch. It was always a rumor that it might
Wait,
not.
So that's not good.
No, it's not good. This is more bullshit.
What
so
the
at
hell?
Least in Japan. At least in Japan. Now, in Japan, sometimes they sell these multi-packs where
right.
they'll say, you know, you can buy the machine with no controllers, no games, nothing. And just, you know, people will go buy it with nothing. I'm not sure why.
Just because. They'll get it first.
And then they'll say, and then for $100 more, you can get a controller and a hard drive. And then for $200 more, you can get a game. Whatever. Here in the United States, sometimes they just... they take one of those bundles and they sell it as the product.
Right.
Like they did for the PlayStation 2, or
but
PSP.
But won't that cost X amount more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
So...
Lord.
I'm curious to see how it will be introduced into the United States, because, quite frankly, the way it was done with the PlayStation 2
yeah.
was bullshit.
I'm yeah. not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not doing
I'm
it either.
I'm not doing that.
Now, I fell for the PlayStation internet... connector.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
I
about
fell
that.
For that bullshit. And
that was dumb.
That was dumb as
what
shit.
What were we playing? Asheron's Call?
No, we were playing Evercrack.
Oh, Evercrack.
I can't believe you played Evercrack on the PS2.
Well, you have a PC.
You were, like, yeah. addicted.
Now, I didn't.
I liked it.
You know, it was fun.
You disappeared for 3 months.
That was my first MMORPG.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing it this time. I'm not buying that bullshit, because Sony says they'll... Sony says they'll support it, but then they don't.
Yeah.
So you'll spend $100 yeah. on some piece of equipment, one game will come out for it, and that's it.
Yeah. The only one I wanted was the Resident Evil game. That was the only one for the PS2 that sounded good. You know?
Yeah, and it didn't even really get great
and
reviews.
What was funny to me, though, was like PS2 blocked EA from making SSX 3
right.
online for Xbox.
Right.
Right. And they made it only be online for PS2,
yeah.
which made me resent my PS2 more. And refuse ever to participate in any kind of EA PS2 game ever again.
I when I got my SSX 3, I jumped online and, you know, there was like 15 people on there,
yeah.
none of which had any mics because only the people who bought SOCOM had a mic. So
right.
there was like two people on the mic.
Yeah.
And they're a bunch of
it's
a-holes.
Ridiculous.
You know, it was
you know?
Absurd. So anyway, that was it. And the other real quick one was... there's been some articles written that both the consoles, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, are not great machines.
Oy.
Technically, they're saying this is not a giant leap forward. The one thing they say is like the graphics card in the machines
is going to be much better.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have these things that look cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the
gameplay, right?
As far as the machine inside, they're saying it's only about double the power of what currently is going on.
Really? Right. Yeah.
Now I don't quite believe that. I mean, I don't understand how you can put 3 6.2 gigahertz machines in there.
Right.
And as compared to like a 733 megahertz,
right.
and say it's
mm-hmm.
only double,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I just don't quite believe all that.
Well, we'll see.
But
I just don't want it to be 3 years before we actually come out with games that are really, really functional using the entirety of the PlayStation mm-hmm. and the Xbox.
But that's how it always is. Now,
I wish I had brought this article in. I'll see if I can find it and give it to Aaron as a link. But apparently the new developers of Gotham Racing 3...
That photo?
Yeah.
You
were
saw
accused
those
of cheating, of putting doctored photographs as the screenshots of their upcoming new game.
Well, because you saw those screens.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
looked like they were
it
real
It looks
photos.
Like they were just kind of tooling around New York with a camera. You know, it's just,
it looked that good. I mean,
yeah, and because even kind of like the quality looked a little degraded because of this natural sunlight that
right.
they were taking the photographs in. And
nice.
It looks really ridiculously good.
And then they came out with photos of the wireframes.
Right.
Saying, see, it's all... Because everyone thought it was real. And they said, no, watch. And then they have the wireframes of the 3D models.
Wow.
It's totally legit. So anyway, that's mine.
Okay, two quick stories. There's a new concept in stopping global warming. It is the space ring. You could have a space ring a la this, see, that goes around the equator. And it
of
blocks
what? Of the Earth?
Of the Earth.
Okay.
And it could block the sunlight. This is a new idea.
Okay, blocking the sunlight.
Did we learn nothing from The Simpsons?
No, wait. They want to shade the Earth to stop global warming.
This is someone's idea.
Where did you get this? Idiotscience.com?
Live science technology.
Why, if we just block the sun, we can pollute all we want.
Yeah, exactly.
How about this? Why don't we just move another planet? Why don't we just shift the moon so it's tide-locked right in between us, and we'll just have a constant...
Eclipse. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be easier than building a ring.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is only going to cost $200 to $500
trillion
dollars, you know.
Oh, that's it?
Actually,
not bad.
No, sorry, $200 trillion. There's two techniques. The particle approach, which is to seed particles, or the actually building a giant ring.
Well, we've already got crap out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll just keep launching satellites pretty soon, and it's going to be like a cloud.
So anyway,
I grieve for the future.
Halo fans rejoice. I stole that from the article. But, okay, second one is...
I love how
that's my Halo singing.
Only the Halo fans are going to get that. Everybody's going to be like, what is he doing?
What is he doing?
What do you mean? In space?
Everybody's a Halo fan. What are you talking about?
All right, sure.
Second article is zombie dogs.
We still haven't found the reverb button on the new computer?
No. It's just a pain in the ass.
Okay. So zombie dogs. They've come up with this way where they're
going to kill dogs?
Well, they're going to they've got No, actually that's what's interesting. They're clinically dead for up to 3 hours and they bring them back to life with no brain damage. And basically they the blood is replaced with a saline solution at a few degrees above zero, and this somehow allows them to be stored for a long time. The idea with this is that the actual uses that this would be for people would be if someone gets is dying, you pump them. You take out their blood, pump them full of saline solution, and it'll keep them alive until you can get them to a hospital. So, like, say out, you know, if you're
it's like a sleeper.
I would hate to see that med kit.
My,
yeah,
God.
Seriously,
because you're gonna wake up like
vampires rejoice. You now have new career options. But you know what zombie dogs lead to though, and this can be a problem.
Zombie
dog
cats?
Foo.
Zombie mailmen.
Oh, right.
I thought dog foo, like but in that's Resident Evil, you can shoot the you can use guns. You can't use guns against these zombie dogs, but a good
kick to the head as long as you're bouncing off a wall. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, then it goes zombie mailman, goes back to the zombie workplace at the zombie mail thing, then it gets to a zombie customer, and then
let's
in the mainstream.
Let's face it, if the post office was populated by zombies, would anyone notice?
Ah.
Good point.
Could have been festering there for years. We have no idea.
We need to bring this up to the government.
Okay. Just a quick word of caution to everyone out there. This news article, I will quote you the full news article. All right? New Hampshire boy hit by lightning through video game controls.
Nice.
Team expected to recover. Middleton, New Hampshire. A 14-year-old boy was injured Wednesday afternoon when lightning traveled through a television set and a video game controller the boy was holding in Middleton.
The boy was said to have said, they're here, before he was hit.
A family member said David Robinson became disoriented and was taken to a hospital but is expected to recover. So, like swimming, do not play your video games during a lightning storm.
That's what he said at
that
the end.
That was a really, really,
I'm pretty
really
impressed.
Good.
That was not sound actually effect. A sound effect.
That was
came
his last
out of Aaron.
Words. Aaron, did you like copy that guy from Police Academy for years?
Game over.
That was amazing.
All right.
Wait. Well, wow. Skipping.
How is it going from you to me?
It went from Peter
to you
to
me.
What did I do?
You jumped Matt.
What story did I do?
Oh, fine. All right, everyone wants to jump Matt.
You. All right. So, Google Earth. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's very simple, earth.google.com. Google has taken all of the satellite images now from their Google Satellite Maps site.
Conspiracy secret organization satellite.
combine them with 3D programs, and they're making an interactive 3D Earth down to the buildings, and you can basically move inside it, move out of it, the whole thing. But it's going to be dead on, like you're going to be able to move up to your building, around it.
Yeah, I've seen it. The problem is Mac users have to wait for a while.
Yep. You can point and zoom to any place on the planet you want to explore. Satellite images and local facts zoom into view. You can tap into Google to search to show local points of interest and facts.
You can happens for the large cities right now.
Yeah, just for the large cities.
Have you guys noticed...
Currently.
You know, I mean, Google is kind of taking over the search engine.
Yes.
You know, in the same way that Microsoft took over,
Internet Explorer and everything.
Yeah. But the difference is we don't care about Google because they're doing a good job.
They're doing a great job.
And they're constantly, every 3 days, they come out with something new, and their services are fantastic, whereas Microsoft, we care about.
Well, it was interesting. When I typed in Yahoo into Google, Yahoo was the first link that came up. When I typed in Google into Yahoo...
What are you trying to blow it up?
Well,
it
was...
like some type of Kirk blowing... Exactly. Trying to blow up that robot with some Kirkian logic problem.
Right. No, but when I typed Google into Yahoo, Yahoo presented its own options first and then Google. And I was like, that's not very fair. Google presents you first. What's with that?
Write a letter.
I should.
Yeah, well, Yahoo, by the way, just cutting in. Yahoo's coming out... Yahoo.
Okay.
Yahoo is coming out with the My... what is it called? My web beta, I think is what it's called.
Sharona.
It's cool. It's kind of like an advanced bookmarking system. You bookmark a page, and it adds to your web search. So when you do searches, it will only search the ones you've bookmarked.
Right.
So that you can go... So you're not searching... So you're only searching the stuff you want to see. So if you bookmark a great site... Mm-hmm. And you hit a search, you're not searching all this other crap that comes up. It will only search those sites. Very cool. And you can share it. So you can say, hey, you guys search, actually we could do a Geeks On search engine. And when people did search, they would only search the sites that we entered. It's pretty cool. It's in the beta right now. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is my last one. Apparently there's a Jedi in Parliament over in London.
Really?
This last week, this guy, Jamie Reed...
That doesn't sound very Jedi-like.
That sounds more bionic.
Jamie.
Oh, there's an apostrophe in there.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Jamie.
They were talking about this new... bill. I don't actually know what they call them bills, but it's a... you're discussing the rights of freedom of religion and some bill that protects that. Mm-hmm. And he said, essentially, as the first Jedi member on Parliament, I'm happy to see that this type of law will protect me. And everyone just froze up and kind of smiled because they weren't sure if he was
serious,
making a joke.
Right.
Or if he was serious or not.
Because he only makes that one reference to it
at
all.
That's the only reference.
Jedi once.
Right.
An entire thing.
So everyone just kind of was like, ah.
But that's a legit religion in England, isn't it? Because enough people entered it on the census for it to be.
Over 1,000 people entered Jedi as a religion in the census, which technically makes it something that you could write in as... religion in a lot of legal forms.
I want to be a Jedi.
Well, you have to be English.
You gotta move. So anyway, very weird. Glad to see that George Lucas has affected some other people this generation.
All right, we got to whip through our last news stories here. Yeah.
File sharing. A lot of people might know Grokster is up at the Supreme Court being sued for file sharing. Supreme Court sided against Grokster. They said that if you're...
And what is Grokster?
It's a
Peer-to-peer.
Oh, okay. You know, they said
it's
that
like Napster.
If your program that you've if your program is designed to allow people to break the law, you know, specifically that's the intent. Some of the intent.
Is that the intent?
Well, they're saying that it is. If it's
someone proved to the judge that that's what it was, which is bullshit.
Yeah, Grokster's defense has been no, that is not its intent. It's a side effect of the current usage.
Right. Grokster's been saying, you know, look, if someone uses the telephone to break the law, the telephone company's not responsible.
Right.
So why should we, who create this peer-to-peer, you know, that's, system?
That's true.
Guess what? There's weight. That makes DVDs and CDs that you can burn onto liable.
Right.
It makes VHS liable. I mean, this judge is an idiot.
I don't entirely agree because...
Like an appeal.
Because I do feel that the...
You don't think a VHS is intended to break copyright laws on television?
I
you don't think that was specifically their intent is to record television shows?
Yeah, but I don't think that the way they're using those television shows, you're not recording them. First of all, you're not recording them in a way that's detrimental to the TV shoot, to the TV companies.
Also, the difference between VHS and Grokster is that Grokster is in a digital format and it's on your computer, so it's about. Outsourcing. I mean, you can outsource that information
but
to 8 million people.
That doesn't make
TV companies would disagree with you as something you've taped, you're less likely to watch in syndication or rerun.
Right. Like now,
yeah,
recordable DVDs. Recordable DVDs. If the studios had any choice, they would outlaw you being able to record anything to a DVD because they're losing their ass over in China and stuff right now. And true. they would submit to you that a DVD was made to screw them over, just like they're saying peer-to-peer is. Hey, guess what, recording industry? You need to get your shit together and start making a product that we want to listen to. Yes, I am easily exacerbated.
And that's one to grow on.
Yeah, but you see,
the more
Aaron,
you know.
I know a lot of people that have writable DVD players. You know, I know people that have... You know, CD players, you know, VHS,
right?
And none of them, when they use it to break the law.
Okay, well,
I'm sure there are people who are using Grokster.
Geekson is using a peer-to-peer network right now in order to be used. So,
but 90% of the people I know who use peer-to-peer networks,
okay,
use them to break the law.
Well, that's because you know a bunch of thieves.
No, it's because that's the majority of the use for it. It's either to...
But that's not technology fault. That's a society fault.
Yeah. Well, you know, but keep in mind that...
Guns don't kill people. Well, people kill people.
But at the same time, a lot of people who have created these programs, they were pretty clear about their intent when they were making it, you know, just in the design of it, they make it so that it's very difficult to track...
Thieves.
I don't think
it's their job.
Well, it's very difficult to track.
Well, I don't think it's a job of someone who makes DVDs, a DVD company making DVD players that burn movies. I don't think it's their job to try to figure out who's stealing.
No, but there's a difference. That's not a completely.
As people in China, government, they're. I mean, but, no one's buying movies over there because of that.
But people have gone into and tried to make DVD players in such a way that they do protect copyright.
Players, but not the DVD writable format.
This
could actually be a whole day long discussion.
Yes, in fact, we should do a discussion on this. And
it's kind of interesting.
All right, I'm done.
Two things, real quick. I'm bringing these up as links rather than links as news because you might want to comment on them. One is there's a link of Ryu and Chun-Li doing salsa. It's in South Korea, and these people are dressed up as Ryu and Chun-Li.
So it's a cosplay thing.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, we're going to get our fill today.
Exactly.
Can't wait.
And the other thing is there is a new website, and it updates every day, and it's David Lynch reading the weather.
Really?
Really? Yes. Really, David Lynch. Really reading the weather.
He has time.
Why? I don't know. You should totally go and just put a little audio blurb
of
him.
Your career's in the bucket.
Yeah.
You're reading the weather on the internet, not local news.
Yeah.
Not network
news. You
got it.
It's almost as bad as just reading other people's news in kind of a geeky podcast
what kind
form.
Of loser?
Oh. Yeah, I'm telling you, find an audio blurb of it and put it on.
All right.
Last one for me. Again, I'll do it in kind of a link type form. There is a a rising body count, not body count, injury rate in the Russian Tolkien fan staging role-playing battles.
So the LARPers are killing themselves off.
Not killing, just thank God. Injuries. And this website that we'll put a link to on our website is absolutely brilliant with some amazing photographs of screaming hordes of Russian Tolkien geeks going at it with each other. And apparently getting, to paraphrase the article, getting so into it they're forgetting themselves and hurting each other.
That's frightening.
So go check it out. The costumes are amazing.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Okay. Time travel movies. The best, the worst, the problems with the time travelness of each one.
Is that your announcer voice?
No, this is... I can't do an announcer, okay. Announcer
yeah,
voice.
It's too bad. In a world.
Gotta go mostly through the notes.
In a world.
In a world. In a land.
Yeah.
It's too bad we didn't think about this a little more before we did this. This section, because we could have done some sort of kind of the time travel stuff within the section.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Aaron and I talked about that, whether or not we should go back and do the whole thing in reverse and actually start with links and then move backwards through it next time.
There's this in Bill and Ted's, I don't know if you guys remember, but there's this part where they're like, gosh, we've got to get in. Oh, I know what we'll do. Well, in the future, we'll remember to put a key under the mat. And then they go back and they go, let's look, and the key's under the mat.
Yeah.
And then there's the part where like they need to have a. I don't know if this is actually in the movie. I can't remember if this is in the movie or just a story that the writer told me. But there's a part where he's like.
Peter works for the writer of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I did.
Has.
Yeah. So he's where they're like, okay, we need to remember to get a ladder. Oh, dude, there's no ladder. You forgot to get the ladder. Oh, forgot to get the ladder. I guess that means I don't have to remember to get it. Oh, yeah, I guess that's right.
Genius.
Yeah, that wasn't in there, but that is pretty genius. Well, okay,
really
since we're on that subject, I consider Bill and Ted's one of the best time travel movies out there.
Just in terms of how it holds its structure.
Yeah. Right, exactly, because it doesn't cheat on itself. I mean, it has all sorts of paradoxes and problems with it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cheat itself on its own writing.
Right.
Which almost every single one on my list doesn't work as far as,
It's not like me trying to run a role-playing game where people go back in time and Aaron and Don screwing it up. That's different.
Did we go back in time?
Yeah, on one of them. And Aaron was just no, wait a second.
I was beating
this
you
is,
up.
Wait a second, wait, no.
I apologize for that. I was being an asshole. I was being one of those difficult players and like torturing the game master.
That, every time he tries to run something, someone puts him through the ringer.
Yeah, I'm like, I used to be a that good GM when I was four.
No, but Bill and Ted's is. I didn't know that. Who wrote it?
Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson.
I've always said that first of all, I was dragged to that movie. That the television ads for that were just unbearable.
Oh, they were miserable. Yeah.
So I got dragged to this movie, and I just felt like it was like an Isaac Asimov screenplay if he had
had a sense of humor.
Tripped, done drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the end of that movie, I was like, man, I can't think of where they left the loose end. It just kind of summed itself up and it's kind of...
But that's, I mean, I like the way that you called it an Isaac Asimov thing, because Isaac Asimov writes so simply...
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you're just into the story so much that even if there is a detail, it was so smooth. It was, a detail that you just didn't notice because it just went right by. It was so simple.
I mean, the fact that the father could not find his keys
at the very beginning
of the movie is important to the very end. I mean, that type of miniature detail made that movie so cool.
Yeah, on a structure level, it was an excellent movie.
Right. Now, of course, the big paradox is, that there's no time, you're in a time loop. There is no, anything causing anything else.
Right. Quantum physics-wise.
Well, actually, I have some news I'm interjecting in here.
Uh-oh.
BBC News said
he's cheating. That's four news stories.
Mm. It's a relatable topic.
Okay.
Quantum physics... Our quantum physicist apparently has decided that a new model of quantum mechanics permits time travel.
Really?
Now,
does it permit it beyond the creation of the time machine itself?
No, no. No, all it means is that before, a lot of Einstein's theories says that you can do time travel.
Right.
Okay. But it doesn't make any sense because, you know, if you go and kill your father, you right. kind of blow up the universe.
Yeah, Einstein basically says that time's a serpentine river and that, you know, if you can get out of the boat, you know, mm-hmm. and put it over to the side of the bank and walk back, you can walk back along the edge of the bank.
That's, isn't he brilliant?
Yeah.
Wasn't that just simple?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of numbers that...
My understanding of his theory said you could go forward into time.
No.
No.
But not backwards.
No. You can bend space-time back
onto itself.
If you travel faster than light, I think you also go back in time.
Time becomes irregular. You can't go
back. But this is different. This gets around the paradox of being able to kill your father. According to the scientists, quantum mechanics... suggests that, you know, when you are unclear about before you observe a situation, that all of its possibilities exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, this is
once you observe the situation, then one pops right. into existence. It's the quantum pop.
This is okay? Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Right. Now, how it applies to time travel is that you've popped that bubble.
Okay.
So it exists. There is no way in nature to go back and kill your father because the possibility has already been determined. There is no way. So they're saying something will stop you, whether you change your mind, you get hit by a car, something will stop you before you do it. Now, to me,
Hollywood movies are right.
No, this is a really interesting concept. What they're basically saying is that history will defend itself.
Right.
Well, it's all comers.
What they're saying is that you can't change... Huh. It's already happened, so you can't change it.
So basically, quantum mechanics is defending fate.
Now, that's the problem I see. Like, let's simplify this model. Let's say your father now is in a box, and he's only... Okay, He's in a box. He's in a white box, and there's no way to get out. And you time travel into the box, knowing you're going to kill him. That's your mission.
Right.
Okay. Now, there's no heart attack or anything, unless you, like, somehow just drop dead for no reason. What is preventing you from shooting your father?
Have you seen the movie Final Destination? Come on.
Is that a time travel movie?
Yeah.
Well, no, but it's about people cheating death.
Yes.
If death wants you dead, death will find a way to kill you.
I don't know. I need to... This article is a little sketchy. I need to delve into that quantum thing.
That sounds like a lot of mental masturbation to me.
Well, welcome to our world. That's what theoretical physics are.
But it's unimportant.
I'm mentally masturbating all the time.
In fact, right now.
Well, let's go through some.
Your ears.
Can we go through some other movies?
Right now, as I'm looking at you.
That's what Peter's doing.
I feel uncomfortable.
Another great movie.
I just
thought
you had a runny nose.
My God.
That's just
Here's the line.
Come back! Come back!
Aaron, I can't believe you said that.
All right, I want to continue on with some other time travel movies, if I may.
I read a book once, travel book. It was very interesting, because I haven't ever seen this in movies, but the whole concept in the book was... You could travel back in time, but they had this concept called slippage,
mm-hmm.
which was if you were going to be dumped at any time, if you were trying to stop at any time where you would actually cause some sort of change or real change, important change to that time,
mm-hmm.
it would slip you to a different place, you know, or a different time.
Now, the nature would or this time machine?
The universe would.
The universe would.
Because you simply couldn't. Yeah, you could travel through time, but you couldn't do anything that would mess with stuff.
Right.
And the whole story was about this woman that's traveling back in time, and she gets slipped so much that she arrives in this small town. And what you gradually begin to realize is the only reason that she's able to go back to this era is because this whole town is about to die from the Black Death.
Oh.
It was really interesting. She couldn't save anyone.
Well, that reminds me of the movie Millennium. Millennium is
one of your favorites, right?
No. Millennium is one of those movies that are really hard to watch because it's very poorly done.
It's horrible
art direction. But it's got a great concept to it. And that concept is that in order to not change the future, you can only meet people who are about ready to die, because if you have any influence of people in the past, you get these kind of time quakes mm-hmm. that rumble through the future and, you know, turn everybody German or something. And
I hate it when that happens. What's
so, you know, so the concept there is they need to steal fresh DNA to continue the human race, and the only place that they know where they can time travel exactly when somebody's going to die is a plane wreck, because they've all been recorded on black boxes. So they time travel into an airplane, steal all the bodies right before they hit the ground, replace them with like bloody meat, or I don't know what they do replace them with.
Yeah, their own dead.
Their own, yeah, and time travel back. And that's a great idea. I mean, that's a cool concept. And the movie was done well in the fact that the story arcs of the woman who's a time traveler and Kris Kristofferson.
I love Kris Kristofferson.
Is that their timeline is mismatched. You know, the first time they see each other, one of them knows the other person. The other person's never met him before. And later on, the other guy knows the person and the woman doesn't know who he is. It's completely out of order. And that's also cool. Mm-hmm. The movie is terrible. And in many ways, but I think it's definitely worth watching and renting if you have not seen that movie.
Right.
Yet another tangent.
Nice, Don.
You reminded me of Bearing an Hourglass, the Piers Anthony book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read that?
Mm-mm.
It's part of the Incarnations of Immortality series, where there are these different people who represent aspects of the world or nature or whatever. And the second book in the series is about the incarnation of time, mm-hmm. the man who assumes the office that monitors time and makes sure it flows correctly.
Father time?
While I don't necessarily like Piers Anthony very much, I think this was his best series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In this book, what I found very interesting is from the moment he assumes the office, he lives backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire story of that book, from his perspective, is written backwards.
Oh, that sounds hard to read.
So as,
no, it's actually
no, because
quite interesting.
He's still thinking forwards.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when he first meets people, he's meeting them for his first time, and it is the last time those people will meet him.
Right.
You know, and he travels backwards, and they teach him what he needs to know, and then eventually he has to teach them what they've taught him.
Oh.
Yeah,
very cool.
It's cool.
Do you remember that... I don't know if it was Amazing Stories or the new Twilight Zone, where the couple wakes up and there's all these blue men in the house building their furniture in their house.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that one.
And they wake up and they're, what the hell's going on? The foreman comes up. He goes, oh, shit, sorry. You woke up in the middle of time. You're supposed to be in the next second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? He goes, well, time is like railway cars. Each railway car is a complete little frame of time, and you move from railway car to railway car. We're the people who build all the sets for you to move through. Because we don't build, like, everything. Like, we know no one's going to walk down an alley, then we just don't build it. So he takes them around the alley. It's just, like, complete pitch black of nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a crazy episode. And he said, remember, he goes, have you ever, like, try to find your car keys every once in a while, and you cannot find them anywhere, and then you turn around, and there they are? Because that's because we just happen to forget to put them in the scene, that one, train car, and then you move on.
What I find so interesting, though, is that that's a common idea in a lot of time-traveling literature. Falling between the cracks of time.
Right. Yeah.
Like The Langoliers is exactly the same plot,
mm-hmm.
the Stephen King book and movie.
Right.
Which I didn't particularly like.
Is that the plane?
I liked the idea.
Right.
The plane where, like, things are eating all the matter that's left over after the second is done.
What is with Stephen King and things eating things?
Well, eating is kind of scary.
Okay.
It's a primal thing. Life, it's
that concept of getting you.
Killing, consuming, and sex are the three primary, you know,
and those
motivators.
Are all scary.
They're all scary.
That scares me.
Jaws,
but I was
going
to say, what was the other one? Falling Between the Cracks of Time, Dark City.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's neat.
Same premise. It's
Dark City, they were out and they were just experiments out in space.
They weren't falling between the cracks.
But
wakes.
It's the same premise.
He wakes up.
It's the same premise.
He wakes up where he
every night.
Right.
time stops for the world.
Right. Right.
Oh, okay.
These creatures come out and rearrange everything to see what happens.
And he happens to stay away.
Dumbest plot line.
I love
it. I like Dark Fate. I like the way it looked, but come on.
The movie was great.
How about Somewhere in Time?
Somewhere in Time is a great movie.
Somewhere in Time operates on the Einsteinian principle of time travel, which is that basically you have to cut your ties to your current time frame in order to move.
Well, in that one, you just have to convince yourself and you can travel back in time.
But you have to...
Now, that movie is great as long as you know it was made in the 80s.
Right.
Like, that's an 80s movie.
Okay.
But it's still...
I had a hard time watching it. I mean, I liked it, but...
Oh, that's a great...
I had a hard time connecting with it.
Watch it again. It'll make you cry.
I don't think I have a romantic bone in my body anymore. Okay.
You didn't get tear-eyed when at the end the woman comes up to him?
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
All right, come on. It's Somewhere in Time. It's been 25
like
80
years old.
If you haven't seen it by now.
I haven't.
Most of the movies on my list, Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3, all the Star Trek movies, almost.
They don't count. They just go around planets.
Now, here's the deal about these time travel movies. To me, most of them, to make them work, aren't, to me, time travel movies. They're other world traveling movies. In other words, in order to get this to work, they don't time travel back to their same time frame. They time travel into another universe.
Right.
Like, for example, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future, he goes back and changes time and he starts like fading away or whatever.
It's much
all
more
pretty
quantum.
Dumb. Pretty dumb, but fun. But to me, in order to make that work in my head, I feel like he's time traveling to another universe where he's changing a timeline. Like, you know, his other universe, his dad's always going to be a nerd.
Aaron needs to rationalize this.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, afterwards, I can give it up while I'm watching the movie. Like, I have fun watching
Back
to the Future.
What I love is that to watch one of these movies to begin with, you have to suspend so much disbelief.
Yeah,
right.
But this one aspect of time travel, no, that's insane. You know? Why, if I went back and met my father and did my mother, then I would have done this. And I'm certain the universe would have reacted in this way. You know, it's all of it is supposition.
That's just Aaron's
brain. I love Back to the Future. I think it was one of the best time travel movies out there. It's a great, fun movie. But if I try to think about it, I need to, like, you know...
Get a little squishy.
Get a little crunchy.
Well, what about Time Cop?
Actually, that didn't make it on my list at all.
I was going to say Time Machine. Let's go back to the classic, you know, one of the first ones of the genre, the Time Machine.
Now, actually, the great thing about Time Machine is it doesn't violate too many... make any too many loopholes.
Yeah, with that one, for example, you see history defending itself.
Yeah.
Right.
He goes back to try and save the woman.
Right.
I'm talking about the most recent movie.
I was like, what?
Are you talking about the movie? Yeah.
I'm talking about the most recent one.
Not the remake of the book movies. In 1960.
I'm talking about the most recent one with, what's his face? Australian guy.
Guy Pierce.
Really, I'm not
Guy Pierce.
Gay Pierce. There we go.
Gay Pierce.
It's Priscilla Queen of the Desert. He's branded for me. I'm that guy watching Lord of the Rings. Looking at Elrond and thinking, I've seen this man in a dress singing ABBA.
I didn't see that movie, mainly because the ad that I saw on television mentioned the book. In other words, he's in the movie Time Machine, which is the H.G. Wells, then he goes to this library, and he asked the librarian about time machines, and he said, oh, you mean the H.G. Wells book? And I was thinking... That's weird. He's
you know it was
in
made
that
by his
book.
Grandson, right?
What is? Oh,
it was directed by...
Actually, one of the directors. They had two directors.
Oh.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of odd to me.
Well, I heard he had a nervous breakdown on the set.
Lame.
Well, I would have, too, if the movie was going in the direction it was going.
It was bad. Yeah, I mean, it was a bad movie. Jeremy Irons, God bless you, but I don't know what you're thinking lately. What is he? Is the Uber Morlock?
Yeah.
That's actually what he's credited as, the Uber Morlock.
The Uber Morlock.
But at least he had great enunciation.
I
know, with that much scenery.
Could somebody explain
creatures eat you? Sorry.
Could somebody explain Donnie Darko to me?
Kind of, if I watch it again. I loved it.
I loved it, but I don't really
I liked it, but
understand.
I can't. I don't know why.
Okay, I'm going to be the one geek on the face of this planet. It's like, I don't get it. I don't care. I didn't like the movie.
Oh, really?
I understood the basic roundabout principles that they're dealing with. I got it. I just didn't care.
Yeah, my ex-roommate made me watch it, and he was like, oh, this is the best film ever, and purely because
no. Every geek I know says that, and I'm so apathetic about that movie.
I liked the movie entirely until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the end.
Okie dokie.
Wait, you liked all the parts that made no sense, and when they try to make sense, that's the part you didn't like?
Yes. Well, no, that's the whole point, is I liked all the stuff that didn't make any sense because I felt like it was going someplace, and going someplace really cool.
And then when it got there,
it
wasn't...
And when it got there, I was like...
Oh, that was where you were going? Yeah.
You know, like, if it had pulled together in the way I was hoping it was going to pull together, like, in some completely surprising, you know, amazing way... Mm-hmm. But I've heard the director's cut is supposed to be a lot better, so maybe I'll have to see that.
That's the one I saw.
I didn't see that. I saw the normal
cut. That's not good.
I just couldn't stand it. I did not like the movie.
Yeah, maybe you should check that out.
Okay. Well, we've talked about movies where history defends itself. Okay.
Peter's going somewhere with this, I can tell.
Well, I was going to say, the next, you know, there's also another concept, which is like frequency. Okay.
Okay. Now, Aaron's least favorite film in the history of creation.
No, it's just a shitty movie.
I gotta tell you, I actually really dug it. I expected to hate the movie. I really like it a lot. I think
you
it's
should
great.
See the old. It copied it was Amazing Stories.
I think the Amazing Stories copied a Twilight Zone then.
Okay, but the kid who is ill. And he makes a connection with a woman back in time who's like in
Salem. And
they
write on a rock, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Salem, and she gets accused of a witch because she can communicate. So mm-hmm. he has to save her by using the future, like what in his knowledge of the future. Awesome, awesome. It was a two-parter, Amazing Stories. And essentially, it's Frequency. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a Frequency copy that bit.
Well, either that or maybe Frequency came up with it without ever having seen it. I mean, this concept
true.
Is not so foreign that no one else could come up
actually,
with.
I'm wondering
it's
if both
a couple
of them...
times.
I'm wondering if it came from like a short story and they're all...
Probably.
I'm curious because it's almost... They're all so close. I'm thinking they dragged this out.
It sounds
of
like a Ray Bradbury story to me.
Could be.
Right, you know, which they're making a movie of the
Illustrated one, Man too.
The one where you step on the
51?
No, the time travel one where you step on a moth and they go back in time. They're all German.
But Fahrenheit 451 is coming out soon.
And Illustrated Man.
Have you guys ever? Speaking of copying, going back to the copying thing, have you guys ever seen the South Park episode where the one kid Butters is trying to come up with an evil plan to do evil, and they keep going, Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it.
Yeah.
You know, and finally, by the very end, you know, like, someone finally comes forward and says, yeah, but the Simpsons weren't the first people to do that either. You know, it's like, you know, they were copying something too. You know?
Yeah. So what's the frequency / model?
Frequency model is really interesting because what it kind of says is that, in a weird way, if you do something to change time, you and whoever... has intent to change time are in a weird way kind of pulled out of time, so that for everyone else the world the world timeline stays the same, but you have two layers of time or two layers of reality that you've experienced,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else's reality is just one.
Yeah.
So
he has that memory flash at the end where
it's
kind of
like
it's downloading.
It's a wonderful life in a way.
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where only you are aware. Like, mm-hmm. the great thing I thought about frequency was he describes it. He goes, it's very strange. You know, after he changes time, he's like, it's like I have two sets of memories. You know, like I can remember, like my whole childhood's been changed. I can remember two sets of memories growing up,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I thought was really interesting.
Man, I got to watch that movie. I don't remember that.
That's very interesting.
Time
is experience or time is memory. Time is something that we remember. As opposed to, you know, like in Back to the Future, like he does not remember a different timeline.
Right.
He remembers, he's still on his. I mean, maybe he just quantum shifted.
Right. It makes sense to me, you know.
There was always Next Generation, well, all the Star Trek series did a version of that where one character gets stuck in time and he's either the one who remembers it entirely, the correct version, or he or she is getting flashbacks of what the quote correct timeline is,
mm-hmm.
which is I've mm-hmm. always found interesting in these movies/television shows is that we're always led to believe that there is a correct version of the timeline. You have to correct to the correct version. That the one you messed up is somehow wrong.
Well,
which is, to me,
the one you're from will always be the correct one to you.
To you.
And if you can reestablish it, then it's the correct timeline.
I would love someone to do a television show, maybe a Twilight Zone, a Star Trek-ish show, or even a movie, where they explore that maybe, you know, what happens if you screw something up and the people find out in the new timeline they don't want to be changed, and there's a moral dilemma saying, hey, wait a minute, I wouldn't have been born if you hadn't screwed up.
Yeah.
So if you go back, then I will disappear forever.
You've got to see, actually, surprisingly, you've got to see the butterfly effect.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see that.
I can't. I hate him.
Don, I know you hate him.
I hate him.
Is it a good film?
He's the epitome of all that is evil and wrong with Hollywood.
It's actually a good film.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've heard it's horrible. Like, I've always wanted to see it, but...
It's one of those ones that slipped in between for me. I thought it was going to be so bad. And my girlfriend wanted to see it, and we saw it.
You know what we should do? Okay. We should have a marathon of Butterfly Effect and that one where they go back in time and have to fight...
Timeline.
Like,
no.
Crappy.
No.
Oh,
I read
God.
The book. I read the book and I was going to stab myself in the eye.
We should do a crappy time travel movie
timeline
marathon.
Timeline sucked.
I read the script.
That was one where, like, history doesn't even defend itself. It just rolls over on its back and gives up.
Oh, God. I just...
But that's the one where they start out with it, like, the kid finds his father's, help me note.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of a cool idea. Well, that's the only thing I know about that whole movie.
Freaking stupid thing. I read the book, and as I was reading the book, I turned to my girlfriend and I went, if this is made into a film in a year and a half, I'm going to scream. And when she pointed it out, I went, because it's written like it's going to be made into a bad screenplay. Yeah. It's horrific.
Well, it's Michael Crichton, right?
Yeah, but he wrote everything. He wrote Andromeda
He's
Strain.
He's a film whore.
Yeah, he is.
All right, okay. We need to wrap this up because we are way over. Anybody have any good movies we should or should not see?
Actually, I just want to throw out one more book that throws out a different type of time paradox.
Okay.
It's called The Cross-Time Engineer. And it's a really interesting series.
Did you give this to me?
I might have it. It's written by a guy named Leo Frankowski.
I think they made a role-playing game out of this.
I know this title.
Yeah. Well, the whole concept is it's about this this guy named Conrad who accidentally – he's just a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
He accidentally stumbles into this basement and walks through a time portal when he's drunk. You know, someone's left – there are people who have – there are people who travel through time, you know, and he accidentally finds one of their rooms and travels back to Poland, okay, and realizes he's traveled back to Poland 20 years before the Mongol horde is about to come through and destroy it.
Mm.
He's an engineer.
Oh,
and so,
I have heard about this.
Yeah, so he starts to take everything that he's learned to prepare these people and develop technology so that they can defend themselves against the Mongols when they get here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very interesting.
And it's a super interesting book, but what's interesting is that they come up with this different theory on time, which is basically that time is like the pages of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that in that we normally don't notice that there are many, many, many different timelines or universes running parallel to each other because they're so similar. The pages are pressed together. They're right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back in time and start to mess with things, then the pages start to open up and diverge.
Yeah.
So you have many different timelines suddenly.
So it's like the multi-universe.
That's quantum theory.
Yeah.
The multi-universe theory. Yeah, it's quantum. Yeah, that you.
It's the Back to the Future theory where you skip to a new universe.
Well,
really.
Sliders.
I don't think that Back to the Universe did skip to a new universe.
Well, no. That's how I explain it.
That's how you explain it. But in this version... Because in Back to the Universe, there's only one timeline.
Back to the Future, too.
Or Back to the Future. Back to the Universe. In Back to the Future, there's only one timeline, and you alter it. In this, there's, like, literally multiple timelines.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back. You can.
It's like a river delta. You go back up the river and take a different fork.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can.
Right. They're always there, but you don't know about the others unless you travel upriver.
Right. And you can even find ways to communicate with like alternate versions of yourself.
Yeah. And they're all in movies where it's what's the branching
point?
In that
book, does every single universe exist keeping in mind every possibility, or does a universe shatter the instant you make a decision? In other words, is there a universe that covers every single possibility that universe could have?
No, I don't think so. I'm not
sure.
Uber
universe?
But the sense I
like
got
a
from
universe?
It, the sense I got from it was that whenever someone goes back in time and changes something, that now there are two parallel universes running next to each other.
Okay.
And so one universe is not destroyed.
So the time traveler creates the new
creates
universe.
A new universe.
I think that's
back.
Arrogant. I think that's basic human arrogance to say that. We are so incredibly important that only by our conscious action can
you
we
need
create
to
that.
Read quantum.
That,
you need to no. read some quantum books because
no,
there's
no.
Quantum.
Because what I'm saying is that every time a major decision is made, every time a minor decision is made, every time the butterfly's wing is beat. Mm-hmm. A new reality would be formed. I don't think it's necessary for anyone to go back.
Yeah. No. Only if you go back in time.
No, it doesn't exist to you unless you go back in time.
Right.
But it exists independent of
right.
you.
In other words, you're on a cosmic water slide, and you just may make a choice that shoots you down another water slide. It already exists there. You're just traveling down the new one, is what you're saying.
Okay. Exactly.
Instead of building a new water slide.
Right. And I think we're doing that right now.
Whatever.
If I had chosen not
semantics.
To say that, wars have been fought for less.
Yeah.
You build your own water slide.
it's the whole matter of, like, if I had just sat there and not said anything, we would have gone down a different reality thread.
Right.
Now that I have said this, I have made the conscious decision to shoot us down another one.
Yeah. Okay.
By
you are now responsible for everything evil that happens in the
future.
There
you go.
And for the rest of the day.
It's all done.
Exactly. But you see, but by saying that, now you're responsible.
Oh, no.
Now he's responsible.
Damn it!
Get what I'm saying?
Okay.
There are two other things I got to throw out real quick.
Okay.
Okay. One, as the epitome of the time travel as fantasy, as like something cool I'd like to do, I got to bring up the Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court.
Brilliant book.
And movie. You know? But it's the whole idea of taking what you know, going back into the past, and just running roughshod over the poor simpletons back then.
Right.
I think that's basically kind of
one fantasy. Where's the one where they take the aircraft carrier back in time and blow up
Philadelphia Experiment?
Yeah, Philadelphia Experiment. Same deal. They have like
same
aircraft
deal.
Wow, I've never
going
even
back
heard
in
of
time
that.
To use your big massive modern brain to rule the peons, right?
Yeah, it's like the Japanese are like coming and an aircraft carrier travels back in time and that whole aircraft carrier takes them all out, you know, with jet fighters and stuff.
Well, yeah.
Other one that I think we have to spit at, we have to at least doff the cap to, because I think it's probably one of the best of the time traveling genre, is the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, because, again, the source of time travel is not our story. It is what's happening in the now.
Right.
Yeah.
So this paradox stuff we don't know about, it never comes up. We have no idea.
Right.
Exactly. And that's a great way of doing it. We only see the one frame of reference, which is what's going on now, and it doesn't bring up
it's
all
good,
the
because problem. Then you're picking a point of view, which is also the sign of a good script.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys is another good one for me, because it's
I always have a problem with Gilliam, but I do like 12 Monkeys.
You always have a problem with Gilliam?
Yeah, he always gets me into his films, and it's like Time Bandits, which I kind of like, and I go, ooh, but there's also, I mean, he's just so throwing the fish in the kitchen sink and some Dali-istic reference to whatever.
All that crap.
He's so bright that every once in a while I feel like he gets a little bit loose rather than just picking a frame.
Okay.
And then he kind of wraps it up with a big, cute bow by the end of it, and I'm always like, okay.
He's just, when it comes to movies, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, he's so, basically, I love surrealism, but sometimes he gets so surreal that he bugs me.
Okay, fair enough.
Those were kind of some of these other time travel movies kind of blow. I'm glad you brought up Somewhere in Time. Peggy Sue Got Married, I thought was pretty good, but I think that's more, the time travel is just a vehicle to kind of move the
story
along.
What about Bloodsport?
Bloodsport?
Don't know it. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Come on! Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No.
We're just going to stare at Matt another second.
Come on.
Anyway, I think that's it for this conversation. We've whipped. We've time traveled through time traveling.
And now when Aaron edits this, he will be looking back in time to make future time a different way.
Exactly.
To change future time.
That's
life.
What Aaron really wants to be. He wants to be a Time Lord.
Doctor Who.
Oh, also people should read the book Island in the Sea of Time, which is interesting as well.
All right, do we have some viewer mail, my friend?
Viewer mail, I got a couple of links. Anybody else got links?
I got a link.
Okay, cool. Viewer mail, column doc. gave us a little bit hey on the Batman episode. He kind of gave us a little psh. He said, you guys said you would have preferred the bat to stay in shadows and the bad guys to get pulled from the dark and disappear and then see him pose. If you were just going to throw in a chain and a longer cape, you got yourself Spawn. And Spawn's thing was to be only in shadow. Batman seems to come out a bit more and distinguish himself.
Okay, I responded on the website to that. I got to bring this up. Why does Batman need to differentiate himself from Spawn, who came later and has a smaller audience? Batman came first. Batman did it right. Spawn needs to find his own thing.
But Spawn's got a cooler cape.
Spawn's cape is a ripoff of Cloak.
Okay, fine. All right, next man. Okay, so he says, okay, so most people have their MP3 player to listen to music. I, however, was listening to your latest episode. We're sorry. Anyway, I'm strolling through Blockbuster and agonizing over the horrendous direct-to-DVD movies that keep on getting made, like Species 3. Again, Matt is really, really sorry. I apologize for that. I really do. Anyway, and then you guys just talk about a versus between Jar Jar and the fish guy sidekick from Jedi, and he nearly loses it. People must have been staring at me because I was trying not to crack up and look like some crazy person. However, I am from New York, so I could have gotten away with it.
New York in the house!
In any case, very funny, and for the record, Mace Windu is a badass who would beat down Lando in mere seconds. Did you not see the animated series? Best, Joe.
I don't consider the animated series Star Wars canon. Thank you very much. Although, Star Wars Christmas special does.
Ever.
Oh, excellent. Oh, and my favorite one. Just emailing you to let you know I am a girl who really loves the show.
They're all... wait a minute. I'm so confused. I thought most of our audience are women.
No, Aaron, no. Anyway, I feel kind of...
They just play them on MMORPGs.
Right. I feel kind of at home when I listen, probably because I'm a major geek in disguise. Anyway, I was listening to the episode where you did the Star Wars commentary. Really enjoyed it much more than I did the movie itself. Anyways, but as you say, that doesn't exactly take much. And unfortunately, you guys didn't touch on what I'd hope the worst of the worst lines in the movie, which is something we should bring up an episode of worst of the worst lines from movies.
From movies?
Yes.
Oh, all over that.
Okay. I nominate the My Little Green Friend bit of Palpatine's, followed closely by Palpatine's I Am the Senate part. Although I agree that his acting in episode 3 was superior to arguably everyone else's, he probably got two of the lamest lines in the movie. Motherfucker.
Excellent.
I love that little last thing that she put in there.
Yeah,
I thought that was very cute.
Throws in the motherfucker there.
I'm a Jedi, motherfucker!
I am an atomic cloud laying motherfucker. Alright, so anybody got links other than me?
Yes, go.
Okay, favorite links. The Samuel Jackson audio files. You can go to this. It's a board. You can choose Samuel Jackson's like clips from various movies that he's got, and you can make him say almost anything. Anything from his movies. But you can say, I'm a cloud-laying motherfucker. It's great. And I love Sam Jackson. Google X. I don't know if you've heard about this. It was a thing that Google came out, which was a toolbar that went over the Google site and linked to all of their things, Frugal and Google and Maps
right.
and everything like that. It's a really, really neat toolbar. Makes Google even more accessible than it already is, which is fantastic.
Is this kind of like, on the Mac having a widget?
Widget.
No, this actually lives on the toolbar. It's a little easier to get
to. Yeah, but it's kind of like a widget.
You know the Find feature in Safari? On the side, it's like that.
Yeah.
Because the Find feature is a Google search.
And the final thing is Swap Thing, which is this new website, which basically is like eBay, Amazon, stuff like that, except it's all about swapping. So rather than going on and auctioning something or whatever, you can say, will you take a couch for it? And they'll do it. Or will you take my Spider-Man number 6? They might do it.
That's kind of cool. I got all sorts of crap.
Interesting.
I just have one little link. It's basically a discussion of female roles in video games and kind of a history of the progression of female characters in video games.
It must be a short article.
Actually kind of interesting. It goes from everything from, like, you know, women as a princess that needs to be rescued to the first female character in any video game to the first female in a fighting video game.
Well, Pong. Wasn't Pong a female?
Yeah. Yeah, what I always had a problem with...
I'm so used to giving this look to Matt.
Yeah.
It seems confusing to give it to you.
Sorry.
Not as easy, is it?
It also has a short discussion on the current roles of men in video games and the way it's affecting male gamers psychologically.
Yeah, I always that's interesting because I always had this problem with like whenever I was playing Street Fighter originally, because you know, I would be playing it and these guys would be like, "What character do you play? Blanca. What character do you play? Ryu. What character do you play? Ken. What character do you play? Oh, I play the bitch." And it'd be like, "Excuse me?"
Yeah.
You know, but it was such this thing, and it became like, and that actually sort of fed through Tekken and like that, you know, and it's like, you know, the guys are cool, but the girls are bitches. And
I was
like,
playing,
what?
That's changed a little bit now.
Yeah,
it's
now they're
an evolution.
Expanding a little bit.
But I remember when I first started playing, I took Chun-Li because no other guy would play her.
Right.
Right? And then, you know, of course I started wiping the floors with everyone with her because she was Uber, but, you know.
Well, on Xbox Live, I remember picking some female as some character, and some guy was like recently said something, and I went, I have to stare at a character on the screen for the next 2 hours. Who's more gay, you staring at the guy's ass walking around in third person, or me staring at the woman's ass for 2 hours? I mean, come on, I picked a hot chick because I gotta stare at her at the screen. Why would I pick some dude?
Think that's
he's
very
like
bad.
Well, and then I
did he actually sound like that?
Yeah, it was you.
Oh, damn it.
Alrighty. Well, is that yeah. Oh, one thing I did want to bring up is that we are on iTunes now.
Everyone
should download the new iTunes you can get for Mac and PC. It makes all podcasting about 100,000 times easier.
Yep.
It organizes them. It allows you to keep only a certain amount of episodes if you want to, kind of like TiVo. It'll delete like the last, you know, only keep like three if you want to. It'll keep them all if you want to.
I think you said all of our old episodes are on there too?
No, yeah. We only put three or four on there. We don't have the bandwidth, but
okay.
We now have a lot more people listening, but if people could go out there and tell people, get on some websites and help us out, we'd love to get more viewership or listeningship, or what do they call it? Just so we have an easier time getting some more interviews and stuff. It's hard to convince, you know, writers and directors and comic book people.
We'll figure it out. I can get my boy from Lost. We can get your sister.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's impossible. Right. I'm saying it makes it easier if they know that we have more people listening.
Right.
We've been trying to get Lucas for weeks. It's just not happening.
He's a pain.
Sid Meier stopped returning my phone calls. It's not good.
Oh, so. Yeah. Sorry.
We do have some. We're going to have a Firefly episode coming up. We're going to try to get.
We're going
to
try and watch the bloody series.
Yeah, we're going to watch the series.
All two episodes.
Anyway, we are going to take off to go to the Anime Expo. So we got to get going right now. So I hope everybody has a good geek week coming up.
Rock it out.
Have a good geek week, kids.
This is actually going to be out of time sequence because aren't we going to put the Anime Expo in the middle?
No, we're going to save this. This we're already past an hour or something, so this is going to be part of next week.
So the Anime Expo.
Yep.
I thought we could work outside of time.
We are. I'm always working outside of time. All right, everybody.
All right.
Have a good geek week.
Be well.
Bye, nerds.
Be good.
All right, get in the car. Let's go.
Go.